Hey everybody, welcome to the press. Great to have you here for our middle show of the week. We're going to go over the model for the Players' Championship. We'll talk a little bit about the setup for all of that. We'll talk about current form, horses for courses. We'll talk a little bit about course fit, although I prefaced this yesterday by saying there really isn't any. There just aren't many golfers that are built this way, and the ones that are, they don't play so good. So it's kind of an anomaly on the PGA Tour in that regard. But we'll talk through all of that here on today's show. If you want to join Golf News Net, join for $40 per year at golfnewsnet.com. It's been great to see some additional memberships this year. Having people join in, I think we're at the right price point. You get access to all the tools, everything that we're doing, including the modeling that we talk about here in the show, the top 10 that we talk about here, because I think the top 10 is generally pretty obvious. I don't think it's all that difficult to figure out who the top 10 players are in a given tournament. However, once you get beyond that, you start to get into the 20s and 30s and 40s, then you start to think about players who might be punching above their weight or might be punching above their price, either in the DFS market or, for our sake, in the betting market. And so that's where I think you have your best opportunity. That's where you can make your money, especially in a world where we just got our first sub 40-1 winner of the year. Not saying that's going to continue forever. And past results is not indicative of future results. But it is important, I think, to have those tools at your disposal. So we'll go through a little bit of that here as well today. But let's start with where we start pretty much every week in this middle show, and that is the model for the week. Now, the model for the week is the caveats that we always talk about. We talk about 1 and 2 year windows. We talk about the last 10 events. We talk about the last 3 years of a tournament. Kind of put all that together. Strokes gained is our measure, right? And strokes gained's cousin that we use is called quality strokes gained. And that is a multiplied quality stroke, multiplied measure of strokes gained against the quality of your competition. So we put that all together and you wind up with this ranking each week that we do. And in weeks like this one, where this is a higher OWGR value event, right? It's a minimum 80 points. So I kind of put the range, and I consider a range of tournaments, not just, oh, every tournament that has 80 points. It's a range. And I actually include the major championships in this one because it is a major championship caliber tournament. I know it is not a major championship, but it has that caliber of field. It has that kind of value to it. Yes, you can say that there are players from LIV who are missing from this tournament that diminish the value of that, and I completely agree with you. But it's still an extremely deep tournament, and that's important to note. That's part of the evaluation this week of the field, because that creates higher values, because you have a higher multiplier, right? You have a multiplier closer to 2 for some tournaments, for the majors, because you get 100 points, and then you move over 2 decimal places, and then you wind up multiplying that by 2. That's how I weighed it. So you get double strokes gained points for the quality strokes gained in majors. You understand where I'm coming from? So if you're trying to put all that together, here's what we've got for the week. Scottie Scheffler is number 1, far and away. He's got 3.048 points. I don't even know if I've ever seen someone in the 3-plus years, almost 4 years of doing this. Yeah, it's almost 4 years of doing this model. And I've never seen someone at 3. I mean, that's crazy. He's just playing that much better than everybody else. That's why his odds are 550. That's just the way that it is. He is better than everyone else. And if he can putt it all, he's going to win. He's going to become the first player in 50 years of this tournament to successfully defend the title. That's obviously a big if. We know about Scheffler's putting woes. But that's why, right? That's why he's 12,800 on DraftKings. He's 1,200 more than anybody else. He is that much better than everyone else. Rory McIlroy is number 2. Xander Schauffele is number 3. Patrick Cantlay is number 4. Will Zalatoris is number 5. Wyndham Clark's number 6. Shane Lowry is number 7. He was like 27th last week because he added another great week. And we have increased the weighting of that a little bit to make it a little bit more dynamic, a little bit more reflective of, you know, the current system. And I also think he tends to play well in bigger tournaments. And when that happens, you get your multiplier, right? So he makes sense here. He's been playing great the last couple times out. Had a chance to win on Sunday both times, just didn't get it done in the Cognizant Classic and over at Bay Hill. Then you've got Max Homa 8th, Victor Hovland 9th, Hideki 10th, Ludvig Åberg number 11, Justin Thomas number 12. I'll point out some other guys that are of interest to me. Sungjae Im is 20th, Ben Ahn's 22nd, Sam Burns 24, Jason Day 25, Denny McCarthy 28, Austin Eckroat's moved to 30th. I mean, he's been playing great golf. Brian Harman is 37th. I actually think Brian Harman deserves better than that, but again, over the long-term window, that's just kind of the reality of it. So there are a lot of interesting names on this list. Adam Hadwin, I think a lot of people are going to like this week, is 43rd. Nick Taylor is 44th. Again, a guy to bet. Kirk Kitayama, 47th. I think much better than his 150-1 ranking. So some guys to think about there in that longer range. The guy I'm going to bring up, he's 57th in the model, and for good reason. He's 200-1. But Maverick McNealy is playing very good golf. He has never won on the PGA Tour, and that is why he is 200-1. Also, he's coming back from injury. But in recent form, as we'll get to in a few minutes, he's playing really, really well. So I do want to bring him up here. Sahith Theegala does not rank very well in this tournament because he just doesn't have enough starts, I think, long-term success starts to really move him up the ranking. He will move up quite significantly this year. But I do want to look also at our current form, right? So before we get to the current form, though, I do want to do the quote-unquote short-term model that we have for our members and bring some of that up into play. So obviously I take a longer-term approach with the model that we've run week to week that we just talked about. And I think that's the proper way to rank players, is to look at them, who they are, who they've been, not who they are this minute. But sometimes who they are this minute wins. So there's a difference between ranking them and betting on them. And if you look at the last 10 events played, I think you get a good idea, fairly good window of who's playing great and why they're playing great. And so we have a short-term model that looks at those last 10 events and tries to green light players based on three categories, whether they are above 1.5 strokes gained per round on the average in those 10 events and quality strokes gained, above 1.2 strokes per round in strokes gained total, or above 0.6 strokes per round in strokes gained on the approach. I really don't care about off the tee. I really don't care about around the green or putting, unless they make you just objectively worse, like way worse. If you're in the negative on those, that's something, or way in the negative on those, that's something different. But I really care about your approach play, because if you can gain strokes on the approach, then putting may work out in your favor eventually. You might have a good week putting, and that might be good enough. If you gain strokes on the approach, well, you can overcome some bad driving pretty well. That means you're doing okay. And if you have a better week driving the ball, you may have a better week on the approach, you may have a better week putting, everything works. You know, you're just one facet of the game basically away from potentially winning. So, that all said, quality strokes gained numbers for this tournament in this field, there are five players who are above 1.5. Scottie Scheffler is way above. Matthew Pavon, Will Zalatoris, Wyndham Clark, and Shane Lowry. Anyone who's kind of close in the end, Doug Gim is close, 1.486. Hideki Matsuyama is close, 1.436. Nick Taylor's close-ish, 1.368. Same with Sam Burns. Total strokes gained. Again, anyone above that 1.2 mark, looks like we've got nine guys. Scheffler, Pavon, Doug Gim, Zalatoris, Clark, Lowry, Mitchell, Taylor, and believe it or not, Billy Horschel. And that's a little deceptive because his short game has been incredible lately. I mean, staggeringly good lately. And that's what's saving him. Everything else is kind of blah. And there's not a whole lot of value in short game at this golf course, if you're thinking in terms of, you know, fit. So that's a little bit deceptive, but it is worth noting, I suppose. And then on the approach, you're looking at an interesting group here because you've got someone like a Francesco Molinari who hasn't played a lot, but is gaining on the approach. You got Tom Hoagie, who's gaining on the approach, but negative in two facets of the game. He's almost there at a really good level. I think you got to like him this week. Austin Eckroat is right there. Again, not the best off the tee, not the best putter, but there's a reason he's won recently. It's the approach play. Jake Knapp, Lucas Glover, but Lucas Glover's putting is so bad, it cancels out the approach play. I mean, that's bad. When you're more than canceling out your good approach play with your putting, you're unbettable. Rio Hisetsun, same thing. Really good approach play, but he's marginally bad off the tee. He's pretty bad with the putter. That's what costs him so much. And then you got Zalatoris, Gim, Mitchell. We've talked about those guys. Ryan Moore, bad at everything but the approach. I mean, truly bad at everything but the approach. Scott Stallings, great approach play, terrible putter. I mean, so bad that he should consider changing styles. Hideki Matsuyama, and Ben Silverman is in there. Ben Silverman's kind of interesting because he gains a little bit off the tee, gains a little bit around the green, but does not with the putting. He's negative with the putting. So if he could figure out just a little bit better with the putter, oh, it's right there. And a bunch of guys are like that are just underneath that 0.6 mark. Corey Connors, negative putting. Tony Finau, way negative putting. Siwoo Kim, negative putting. Justin Thomas, negative putting. Zach Blair, negative putting. Alex Noren might be your one exemption to that, and he's negative on the drive. Same thing with Minwoo, negative on the drive. They're just bad for everybody. Now, Andrew Novak is an interesting case to me. I think he's like 201, 181, whatever his number is. We'll come back to that. But he's at 0.462 per round on the approach, which is respectable. 0.261 off the tee, also respectable. Gaining around the greens, but just negative on the putting. And that's like mini Scotty Scheffler syndrome of, you're not that good, but this is the formula where you're good at 2 to 3 facets of the game, but man, that putting stinks. And if you could just turn that around a little bit, you could probably win. And the formula for Scheffler seems very similar, where he's gaining a ton off the tee, gaining well enough on the approach, gaining considerably with the short game, and gaining just enough with the putter. And last week helped a lot. So if he can kind of put that together, Andrew Novak, he could be a really interesting guy for a derivative bet. I'm going to point that out. Brian Harman, I love his game, but he struggles to gain off the tee, and he's not putting as well as he could this season. Looked a lot better at Bay Hill, though, so I do want to point that out. Then I do want to get into the current form, course fit, horses for courses. Let's start with course fit because it's going to be the shortest conversation. There is no course fit. If you look at the numbers of the players who gained in the top 25 on the average in this tournament historically, it's 27% putting and 73% tee to green. That's one of the lowest on the PGA Tour of a consistent host. And what I want you to take away from that isn't the breakdown of 19% of the tee, 41% of the approach, 13% around the green. Anyone can play well at this golf course. Anyone can play poorly at this golf course. What I want you to take away is the disparity between putting and everything else. It's the everything else that matters here. Putting doesn't matter quite as much here because the greens are hard to read. They aren't particularly huge most of the time. They have a lot of sections that feed to other parts. There are specific areas within those sections that you have to hit to be successful. So you need to be on, especially with your decision making, especially with your course management. And that's something we don't quantify here. We don't have a way of quantifying course management. Very well, at least. So I think two things come to mind when I think about course fit. One, guys who don't make bad choices. If you make dumb choices in this tournament, you will pay. Eventually, you will pay. And it will catch up to you. The other thing is, you've got to be able to find a way to play your best game tee to green to give yourself chances. You're going to make bogeys in this tournament. You want to avoid doubles, triples, quads, you know, those kinds of huge numbers. That's true for any huge championship. If you avoid the big number, you give yourself a chance. I think there's a statistic going around. There hasn't been a Masters champion, God knows how long, with worse than a double bogey on the card at any point in the tournament. That's true for pretty much every major. You can't make worse than double on this golf course or any big tournament and hope to win. So that comes from making smart choices. It also comes from being able to play well off the tee, not finding yourself in horrible positions off the tee, And when you do, just kind of swallowing your pride and doing what you got to do to make a par, not trying to hit a hero shot. And that there is a humbling to that that is difficult for a lot of players because they are so good. Let's talk about event history. There are only guys in this field that have two top 15 finishes or better in the last 5 years. Five times it was played, not 5 years, because 2020 wasn't finished. So going back 5 years, excluding 2020, there is nobody with more than two top 15s. So that tells you a little something about how hard it is to be consistent on this golf course. It is extremely difficult to do. That said, here's our guys. Adam Hadwin, Brian Harman, Max Homa, Victor Hovland, Shane Lowry, Hideki Matsuyama, Justin Rose. Think about a lot of those guys. You got a good short game guy in Brian Harman, a pretty good short game guy in Shane Lowry. But most of these guys are solid all around. Hideki Matsuyama is a bad putter. He's a great tee to green player. So I think you have to consider that very strongly thinking about this week. There isn't really an archetype that works here. All right, so let's get into the current form plays. So we're looking at the last five PGA Tour events played here. Really throwing in the sixth because of the Puerto Rico Open, but no one that played there is really a part of this. I mean, Marty Laird maybe, but that's it. Other than that, you weren't playing that tournament last week. But here we go. Sam Burns has a couple. Doug Gim, Tom Hoge, Jake Knapp has a win in there. Martin Laird, as mentioned, last two events back-to-back in the top 10. Shane Lowry, Hideki Matsuyama, Matt McNeely, we talked about him earlier, T6 Phoenix, T13 in the Mexico Open. Andrew Novak has three, which I feel like people are just kind of forgetting this, but T8, T8, T9 from Phoenix, Mexico, and PGA National, three very different golf courses. Scottie Scheffler has three, Nick Taylor has two, Sahith Theegala has two, Phoenix Open, T5, T6 at API. I think that's something to keep in mind. Justin Thomas is going to fall off the radar a little bit this week. Couple of T12s, Phoenix and the API. Eric Van Rooyen, Cameron Young, and Will Zalatoris. So that's kind of the collection for the week. Again, I think being a better long-term player is more important than being a better short-term player. But a lot of the guys on this list of multiple top 15s in recent memory are both. You know, Jake Knapp is young, right? He's new. He's got, what, 10 PGA Tour, 12 PGA Tour starts under his belt. Doug Gim has these kind of flashes of brilliance. So he's going to get to play, and he's been playing pretty well. Although, you know, the T8 Mexico comes against a whole bunch of nobodies. That's relative to the guys that were playing this week at Sawgrass. Tom Hoge has been straddling being on the elite level at times. Andrew Novak is just starting to kind of break out as a player. This could be the start of a change in who he is, or it could just be a short-term run. And you kind of have to make that determination for yourself. But I think the history of this tournament, especially in the last 5 years, has taught us that you got to be a really good player to win this tournament. You got to be a quality, long-term player. That doesn't mean you can't have a freak occurrence. That doesn't mean in a season of freak occurrences, not another will continue. But I think in a tournament like this, a tournament like a major championship, you tend to err toward the long-term view. But then again, you look at a Wyndham Clark who won the U.S. Open. Was maybe trending in that direction, but you know, Charlotte really did it for him. Being able to break through made him believe he could win. He wound up taking on a guy in the final day in Ricky Fowler that really was not prepared for that situation to try to win a major. You have Rory McIlroy, who hasn't won a major in a decade, probably just pushing too hard at this point. So there are a lot of kind of moving pieces to this. So there's a reason there's that argument there is a compelling reason to think about betting live, particularly kind of midday Saturday. Just see where things are. Just see where the tournament is. Maybe mid-afternoon, not midday. Get the leaders through the front nine and then make some choices. Make some wagers. There doesn't tend to be a lot of players who come from way behind in this tournament. We've had a bunch of those types of comebacks this year, but that doesn't tend to happen. And you kind of have to be somewhere within probably four of the lead before Sunday. So if you're thinking about that for a Sunday, okay, you're going to have to be fairly close. You're not just going to storm from six, seven, eight behind and win this thing unless the weather gets out of control And from what I can tell, it's going to be pretty awesome down there. So it should be pretty good scoring conditions. It depends on what they do in terms of the firmness of the golf course. I don't think they can make it super firm like they used to be able to do in May, but they can still make it pretty firm. We'll see what happens there. Hopefully today's show was helpful. Kind of get you in the right track, right frame of mind. Tomorrow we'll come back. We'll talk about some derivative plays a little bit and fill in with a Wednesday show that maybe we typically wouldn't do, but I think can be helpful as we're getting ready for the start of the Players. Reminder, join Golf News Net for $40 a year at golfnewsnet.com. You can go ahead and do that today, or you can sign up for $10 for the week if you want to try it out. That's up to you, too. Have fun. We'll be back with another show tomorrow. Thanks so much for being a part of it with us. You can get a hold of me at ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com, on Twitter, Threads, X, Instagram, and Blue Sky at Ryan Ballingy. And I'm on Facebook and YouTube at Ryan Ballingy Golf. Golf News Net's on all of the services of Golf News Net. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a good one, everybody.